collectors nationwide and abroad, it's time to get hype.
Come on.
About the hobby we are all a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
Is going down, everyone. It's time for The Hype episode number 95 coming at you on a special Thursday edition. We had some internet outages here in San Jose, so we weren't able to do the show, but we're back on Thursday to do the show. We're going to talk about Series 2, some of the inserts. We're going to talk about Gary V's cards that have really kind of hit Twitter by storm. We're also going to talk about MLB stars of the last 5 years, where their cards were at last year compared to where their cards are at this year, and kind of our take on these guys, like the big names in the baseball hobby. And we're also going to talk a little about Noir and some leather and lumber. We're going to talk some leather and lumber today, guys. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about with that. Dan, what's going on, dude? You happy to have internet?
Jill.
Yeah?
Jill.
What are you, Ryan Lochte?
Yep.
Jill. Hey, is Ryan Lochte coming to your wedding?
Oh, dude, that'd be dope.
Should, huh?
That guy's a beast.
TJ, can you listen to this back to let us know that the audio is... okay, cool. Just making sure everything works today, guys, you know. C-Rad, big moment last night. It's like C-Rad, you know, we had all these internet, you know, problems yesterday with the internet outage that obviously, unless we dug our own internet, we could fix. But he comes through, ninth inning, grand slam walk-off. Everybody celebrates. LeBron James, logo man, one of one out of 18-19 National Treasures was pulled last night. And this is a lot of people's holy grail card. I mean, this is a huge card. It's his first Lakers logo man. What was it like, dude? Everybody's got to watch your reaction. It was insane. I mean, it was a great video. You could watch it. It's the NT Noir double case. What was it like? What ran through your head the first instance you saw this card?
To be honest, a little bit of shock. You know, I've been pulling cards now for 5 years. Just knowing the significance of LeBron James to the to not only just sports but sports cards, you know, being, I would say, the most collected athlete in modern sports cards, I would think. Yeah, I was shocked. I pulled some big cards this year, but this is by far the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very often, and for those that don't really collect basketball, LeBron James is kind of a unicorn in the hobby because he is an Upper Deck exclusive. So you won't be pulling LeBron James autos out of Panini products because he's signed exclusively through Upper Deck for his auto. So to get something like this is insane. So, you know, there's going to be probably maybe two more logo mans throughout the year, maybe one in Immaculate and one in Flawless. So you can look at stuff on eBay for LeBron for this kind of caliber of card, and it's just literally insane. I mean, one of the best basketball players of all time, so... I'm glad we pulled it. I'm glad one of our great customers is able to get this card and, you know, could almost buy probably a small house somewhere.
No doubt.
It's like pulling a house out of a box.
Your level was all jacked. That was the issue that you were having.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounds a little bit better.
Your level, the preamp was down too much. So
gotcha.
Now you sound.
Did
you
sound like Barry White?
And I realized that when C-Rad started talking, I was like, man, I'm like, C-Rad sounds a lot better than we do.
I guess my ears weren't deceiving me prior to the show, so that's
but
good.
Yeah, it wasn't an echo, though. I don't know where you're getting the echo from, but...
yeah, maybe my ears pick up things a little differently.
It was just a little low. A little low in the mix. All right.
Yeah, so, I mean, debating on this card...
That's a $2,400 card, right?
Yeah, we had an offer at $2,400, which that's... it's like offering.
Chill.
It's like offering at a dollar at this point. I don't know what would be better, 99 cents or $2,500. But, anyways, it was actually a mistake offer. Anyway, somebody said that they thought cool. It was a different card. They were working on too many deals.
Still bring it up though.
But
no take backs. I'll hold you to that $2,400.
I know, right? So 1-on-1 LeBron. It does say on the back that it was worn in a Cavs game, which isn't any surprise. LeBron's probably Laker jerseys are going to be in next year's products.
Yeah.
So does that – would you rather wait to next year and pay a little bit more for a LeBron James logo man that was worn in a Lakers game? Or is since this is the first one, it's going to be the best one?
Well,
it's tough.
Game used from last year.
From last year.
Pretty sure they went to the finals that year.
It doesn't say what game it is,
but
we're
I mean,
assuming.
If it was last, I mean, if it was the last, how many years he made the final? I mean that is from a jersey where they went to the finals that year.
True, yeah.
No matter how, I mean, he went to what 30 finals in a row,
something like that. Something insane. But yeah, you're right. So next year is going to be his worst season.
Yeah, his worst season. Yeah. Why would you want that one?
That's true. I didn't even think about it that way. So you know. I love to talk about this when you see a card of this caliber and the history behind the card. It's more than just, you know, your regular run-of-the-mill pulling out of a box.
In that case,
card.
Didn't have one Logo Man.
Yeah, it had two.
It had Dos Logo Man.
Isn't that
Logo
wacky?
Men.
Anthony Simons, you pulled an Anthony Simons Logo Man on the same case, right?
Yes.
What was in Noir for that case? Was Noir like...
Ooh, baby, you know,
straight flam?
Yeah. No,
you're speechless.
I know. Yeah. Can't even
put it into words.
This Logo Man LeBron came out in the second box, so I don't remember anything after
that. You blacked
that.
You blacked out.
I forgot about the Anthony Simons Logo Man until you guys just brought it up right now.
Well, this is the only one that matters.
What was your biggest pull last night in Noir? Because
Luca RPA.
The consensus was everybody was digging the design of Noir.
Yeah, I think they did a great job.
And the cases were delivering.
They were. So. Yeah, I think much improved. And we'll get into some of that. I highlighted some of the sneaker cards that we want to show you because I'm a sneaker guy. I like to buy sneakers. And the fact that they have the sneaker spotlight. So a little teaser for the next one of the segments coming up in today's show. We're going to talk about Noir and the addition of the sneaker spotlights, which I think is awesome.
I would challenge you to find a shoe out of that subset that you could actually wear.
That I could wear out in public? Yeah. Yeah. There's
it's tough.
There's tough. They're very bright and shiny and... obnoxious looking, which makes it cool on the card. But let's get right into Series 2. So Series 2 came out yesterday. It's flagship tops. It's the, you know, it's nothing says baseball like Series 2. Set builders, you know, SP chasers, lots of new rookies to gather. Everybody's waiting for the next Mike Trout rookie. And Vlad's in there. At first, Vlad we thought was going to be super short printed, but it turns out you're getting about four Vlad rookies a case. So it's... Instead of getting six of everybody else, you get four. So it's like kinda SP. We were joking around yesterday, calling it P. It's just printed. but looks like they're steady going for $30, and he's going to be an update probably as a regular rookie. So is the Vladimir Guerrero from Series 2 going to hold more than the update series Vladimir Guerrero, which is technically his true rookie? I would think this one would be the one you'd want.
I think this is the one you want. How can you consider the update one being his true rookie? This has the rookie card logo.
It doesn't have a set number on the back. So they do 350.
Because this one wasn't really short printed.
No, not as much.
You were getting about four or five per case.
Yeah, four or five per case. But it doesn't. It would fall what everybody thought was it was going to be card 701, I believe. So they do 350 cards. Correct me if I'm wrong in the chat, if you guys know. I think it's 350 for every series. So that makes you know, over 1,050 cards throughout the three series and this one doesn't have a number. So the update one will probably have number 888 or whatever number they have. So that would be the claim for the update one. So we'll see. I put the Will Clark because Will Clark were Giants fans. I thought that was a cool SP. They did a great job of having some awesome SP photos of legends and, you know, older veterans and things like that. There's a great, I wish I had a picture. There's a great Chipper Jones of him sitting on a couch that looks like from the 70s show. So that's just another cool element to it. I mean, you're seeing all these guys that are current, and then you kind of bring that nostalgia back when you pull like a Will Clark or you pull like a Chipper Jones. So I thought that was a really cool, and they were coming out a little bit more regular than they used to be. So which is, you know, letting us see it as we're opening up the packs and reminiscing.
That must be 87, that Will Clark photo. Because it looks like it's a playoff game. It's an NL championship
series.
When
we played the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, and I think there was a little fight that between Will Clark and Ozzie Smith or Jose Akendo. They had some beef.
Let me end a debate here. So we're looking at this Dennis Eckersley card.
Oh God,
we're looking at this Dennis Eckersley card.
It's a hell of a mullet.
We've had. Hey, you can't sway the. You can't tip the vote here. So is Dennis Eckersley? Is that a mullet?
That is, or is that just luxurious long locks, that, guys? Because to me, that's not a mullet.
Dude, that is business on top with bangs.
Business on top with bangs. So you're already altering it. You're already, and like, that is, you're already PWC seeing this.
But that's a,
this.
That's
you're already
a full on Fiesta in the back.
God, he had pro mustache too, man. He rocked it. You know, I know my mom would tune into A's games for Dennis Eckersley. I remember she would make mention that she was a big fan of the X.
Is that we're calling a Tennessee top hat?
Is that what we're saying in the chat? Tennessee top hat. So it's not a mullet. It's not long hair. I think he still has that same haircut, doesn't he?
Probably. But I mean, so. That's I look at that and I'm all, that's a mullet.
Yeah, to me, it's got to be a little bit shorter in the front to be a mullet. It's got to be like, you know, and then you got to almost have the shaved head with the long hair hanging in the back. Like,
so
I wish I had an example.
So you're thinking like 1992 James Hetfield from Metallica.
I'd have to see the picture, but yes.
You could, it's a mullet.
Speaking of that, not to get off on a complete tangent, but I heard that Woodstock was canceled. So they canceled Woodstock.
Woodstock 50
is canceled. They couldn't get they couldn't get the rights. So I actually this morning,
you know what? There's a good chance that bill was probably going to be pretty bad anyway.
Yeah. Well, I was going back and I was watching some of the Woodstock 69, and then I went to Woodstock 99.
You mean original Woodstock?
Yeah, dude.
I don't think anybody's ever referred to it as Woodstock 69.
The original Woodstock.
Woodstock regular?
Okay, well, I'm immersing myself in the history, but it was pretty phenomenal. And there's a movie out that happened like 7 or 8 years ago about getting to Woodstock on how these guys made it happen. I guess they were trying to charge at first, and then they just made it free, and they didn't have any bathrooms. They didn't have any food. They had nothing out there. But people were – there was no fights. But anyways, that's on a whole other tangent. I'm into this Woodstock thing that I'm going to – it's going to be a hobby outside of the hobby. I'm going to start watching some Jimi Hendrix videos. And Santana was out there at the age of 20. Santana was playing at the
damn,
Woodstock.
That's crazy, dude.
So a lot of history there. Probably one of the biggest concerts ever that'll never be topped. But – back into series two, so like Dizzy Dean playing the trumpet here. Is that a trumpet, Dan? Let's get a. Is that a?
That is. Well, go back to it. Let's see. That is a. I would say that is a tuba.
Tuba. So Dizzy Dean playing the tuba. And you wonder how you know any of these photos were kept, and they're able to look kind of modern here.
Like,
you know,
you'd consider that.
Yes. Yes. That is yes, that is a mullet.
That is that
because it's shorter in the front, a lot shorter in the front. If it's longer in the front, I don't consider it.
No, I mean that's a straight. That's full business. That's a flat top.
For those of you guys that are wondering, what we're not as technologically advanced to put this on the screen, but it's a 1989 James Hetfield from Metallica is. I consider that a drop dead mullet. That's the that's criteria right there. It's a little long in the back.
It's too much party.
I think it has to. Yeah, too much party in the back. I think it has to go to the back of your shirt, just like the little stringies hanging on the back of your shirt there. That's the mullet with the beer cozy, with the tucked in shirt.
No, that right there is just that's
regular.
That's rock right there. That's just rocking out.
Where's the mullet at?
Yeah, it's you have a type of 1989 James Hetfield, probably. He probably tried to delete most of those photos now. Oh, you did? I don't know. But anyways.
Oh, just type in James Hetfield mullet.
There you go. Yeah, James Hetfield mullet. So this is
not right there, first one.
Yeah, that's the mullet. See how it's like short in the front? It's a little long to, you know, I'd say 70% mullet. How about the rocker mullet with the shave on the side? Is that okay? But all right, so I wanted to get into this Gary V thing. Gary V, you know, we've talked about him on like what 5 or 6 shows now. So he's been the topic as he's kind of literally jumped back into the hobby. He collected as a kid, sold as a kid, learned a lot of his sales chops in selling at shows, and you know, led him to a lot of his success. He kind of contributes baseball cards as learning how to guerrilla, you know, sales and selling and flipping and stuff like that. So he got back into the hobby probably, I would say, you know, with the Rich Eisen really kind of put him in the forefront. He had some videos of him talking about buying tops prior to that, and he had some ideas of, you know, different things for this hobby. Now he's got a baseball card set. So he's in Series 2. It's a 10-card set, and it's Gary V's Top Entrepreneurs in Baseball. And it's a 10-card set and talks about on the back – of what this person does outside of baseball to become an entrepreneur. So there's a Hunter Pence, there's Derek Jeter, and they also have autos. So as you can see on the screen, if you're listening to the podcast, there's dual autos of the subjects that are on the checklist. So what we're seeing here is a Gary V, Derek Jeter dual auto. So some people are outraged. Somebody that got this was like, I just would rather have a Derek Jeter auto. So I want to get your guys' thoughts. Is there a place in Topps baseball cards for Gary V? Or did Topps literally go, this is the first somewhat celebrity that we're that shows interest in cards, and we have to make a set of them? What do you think, Dan? What's your thoughts on this subset? And, you know, is there a place for it?
I was really hoping at some point we would not be talking about Gary V. It's every week, man.
Well, he's doing his job. He's
it's
marketing.
No, it's every week.
He's doing
whatever.
His job.
Give Gary V a subset. Big deal. Whatever. I mean, we've had other, like, subsets that are kind of funky, dual autos and stuff like that. Give Gary V. I mean, it's a I mean, it ties into what he does. So I understand somebody may pull this card. Very difficult to pull a Derek Jeter auto. And you have Gary V's auto on it now. As a Derek Jeter collector, you may be like, well, it kind of devalued my card. Well, at that point, if you're really unhappy with it, sell it on eBay and buy yourself a Derek Jeter auto just by himself.
I don't think you could.
Well, I mean, you could.
You'd have to throw a little bit more cash.
It'll give you a starting point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a $50 card. It's probably a $200 to $300 card, I would guess.
Yeah,
I'm assuming. I think they're numbered pretty low, like numbered to 10 or less, I think.
But, I mean, whatever. The subset makes sense. The entrepreneur aspect of it makes sense. Gary V is an entrepreneur. I understand he is kind of, I mean, he's a hot topic right now. He's kind of the flavor of the month when it comes to the industry.
Right.
And if you think this is a lot, well, he's going to be all over the national.
Yeah.
And he's going to have an entourage of people just like following around and just being like, oh my God, I'm in the same area as Gary V. He is a celebrity and he's going to get treated like a celebrity. And just so happens he collects baseball cards and basketball cards. And it'll go away. If you're really unhappy with it, it'll fade away. Don't worry.
Yeah, and more than likely it will. I mean, I like Gary V. I followed him before this whole card thing happened.
I don't know him.
I'm in sales. I don't know him either.
I can't say I like him. I don't know him.
He has a very...
But if I meet him, and I'll have an honest opinion about that.
He has a very passionate... abstract kind of approach to motivation, which is very motivating to people that are watching it. But like I said, I watched it. I followed him when he was doing his wine thing, and he was on Shark Tank a couple times, and I followed him before this all happened. So I had an admiration for Gary V. But I guess the problem of my old hobby, you know, outlook on things is I feel like we shouldn't just be too trendy in this hobby. We shouldn't just jump at the first like trend that happens organically. Like, it's Series 2 is the right place for it. You know, if it was in definitive, I think people would be a little bit more upset.
Did it not happen organically? I felt it happen fairly. I mean, he didn't probably call Topps and say, "Hey, make a card of me." I mean, I think Topps probably reached out to him. The set makes sense. There's nothing about it. I mean, it's not like Gary V's top collectors, and it's just him saying that he's one of the best collectors in the world.
True.
He's, you know, it's referring to players who have had business ventures and talking about it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
But you buy packs to learn how to start businesses, or?
I don't think there needs to be autos of the subset.
I think just
the base cards and the parallels would get the point across.
Right. Granted, these are probably like astronomical odds of hitting this.
I don't think there needed to be autos.
Jeff is saying in the chat, wrong set belongs in Ginter. I could see that. Ginter is the place where
wouldn't people be okay with like it just being an insert without the autographs on it?
Yeah, I guess so. Would that be? Could you see that be a set? That
because they have it, it's not this design, but they have the Gary V insert.
Yeah, it's the slide before here shows the Gary V insert.
Why couldn't it just be kept there? And then if Gary V really needed an auto, like you're saying, put him in Ginter.
Right.
I mean, Gary V might be in Ginter. We don't even know.
It might be.
I mean, but wouldn't you be? if it was just a Ginter auto, you'd be like, okay, well, they put a lot of people in Ginter.
Right.
It makes sense. It's kind of the spot for it. I like the idea of that insert in Series 2, and I like the idea of his auto not being in Series 2 and being in Ginter.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Bam. And mic drop.
Hey, I can go with that. You know, I want to come up with a way to dispute that, but I think that's the way
very
to do
difficult.
It.
Very difficult. I have very good points.
And we're nitpicking here because we have a show and we were trying to create conversation. And it really was unavoidable yesterday on Twitter. I mean, it just came out. So, I mean, nobody will probably be talking about it come Monday. But, you know, everybody's talking about these cards because it's something out of the norm. And when can you remember that somebody that's not related to baseball, other than the first pitch cards, remember the first pitch cards that they had of celebrities?
Yeah, they didn't have
autos. Really never been.
They didn't have autos of those.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. What so, about, but this is something that's kind of new and trendy, I'm saying. So, you know, baseball cards are Americana. It's a pastime. And I think people aren't ready for a switch here. That's why the criticism was.
You mad, dude? You mad that they
don't I'm pissed.
You mad because they don't have Doug Zduhls?
No. I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want anybody to pull my auto when they're trying to pull a Vladimir Guerrero auto. That's a bummer.
You keep on saying that.
That's a bummer.
Wait until Doug gets his Ginter card at some point.
I mean, that's
and Doug's going to be like, go ahead and pull my card.
Hey, I had
he's going to be like, I have all of them already. I PC myself.
I had an opportunity. We both had opportunities to have Ginter cards.
I would love to have a Ginter card, dog.
Yeah, we
would have had to pay $22,000.
I feel if I was ever to
have going to a good charity, though.
An insert auto in any product, it would need to be organically. I cannot.
Like you need to go play in the Super Bowl or?
No, like I'd have to be like, you know, hey,
you'd be playing on the Warriors.
I'd have to be contacted and be like, we want to put you in this, and then I got to think about it for a while.
Well,
be
I'm
like,
sure
what,
they're. I'm sure
well,
they,
what set's gonna be in? I mean, are you gonna have a Dan Anderson transcendent? I mean,
party.
We're at a party where I'm the guy you got to meet. I get it. Let's.
But you
I'm
only
all
sign.
About it.
You only sign flats, and you don't sign cards, right?
Doug. Cards are pretty flat.
Well, I'm saying like flats is in like 8x10s, right? You only do 8x10s.
Well, I mean, no jerseys. No, no helmets.
Okay. So cards are acceptable. So if somebody wants to contact you.
You know, and it's crazy because if like we were those breakers who use gloves, we could sign gloves.
Oh, you could have a glove embedded relic auto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, or just, you remember those handprint cards they used to make?
Yeah.
You could just have a used glove.
Ooh, that's tight, dude.
It's not tight.
It's for the sake of this show right now. That's tight. I think you're coming up with something.
We'd have to wear gloves, though.
Let's make a Breakers product.
Just Breaker used gloves?
And mats and t-shirts. You know, pieces of camera, maybe dummy cards, maybe knives.
How about used HDMI cables? We got those.
Dude. The sales will be so phenomenal. It'll be bigger than Fortnite. Not. Anyways. All right. So let's move on to the baseball segment. So I did a little bit of research. And before we get into the segment, I want you guys to think of the guys in the last 5 years for baseball, the biggest stars in the last 5 years that are relatively young. So I don't think you've seen who I have on this list, but come off the top of the dome on some of the guys in the last 5 years that have been not only big in the hobby, but big in sports, big in baseball,
big in life,
big in life.
Mike Trout.
Let me preface this by saying,
oh, okay. Well, so there's such thing as a wrong answer.
There is a wrong answer.
Okay.
The reason
obviously he's the wrong answer.
No, I, what I should have said was is that Trout is the pinnacle of baseball collecting at the moment. So I took him out of the equation.
Oh, so everybody but Trout?
Everybody but Trout. The reason I did that, because we always talk about the $400,000 Trout Superfractor. So who's the next guy that's a possibility of selling that well
I am confused. Do they have to currently be playing?
Yes.
They have to be in the majors?
Yes.
Okay. I would go.
The biggest names over the last 5 years.
Ohtani and Judge.
Okay.
Chris Bryant.
Okay.
Acuna.
Okay.
And Harper.
Okay. Well, I've got all those guys on my list. So we'll start, and I'm glad you ended with Harper because Harper's the first guy I have on the list. So we're looking at their prices at basically at this time last year compared to the prices now for their first Bowman.
Where's Ohtani?
He's on there too.
That's just something I stole. There's no DeGrom on there. I didn't put DeGrom on the list.
Is that DeGrom?
But basically, their prices from 2018 to now, and just kind of analyzing where they've went up, where they went down, who's a good investment, who's a guy that could be the next Trout. So we're looking at Bryce Harper, and we're looking at Bryce Harper's 2018 prices. So there's a recent in 2018, there was one that went up 9-5-10. 2011 Bowman Chrome, by the way, is the one that's the most collectible of Bryce Harper. So you can go to the next slide. And so in 2018, a 9-5-10 sold for $1,018. So this time this year, basically the last one that sold, go to the next slide, sold for $735. So that is a negative. So he has lost $283 in a year. So is that because he's on the Phillies? Is that because he's doing bad, or a combination of both?
It's because he's sucking.
It's because he's sucking.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think people sold that were collecting National cards sold him off basically when
not a guy like Harper.
No.
I don't think you can. He's not one of those. He's again. I think we've already had this discussion. He is struggling, but he still is one of the faces of baseball.
Yeah. Now, is that a good price to buy then? So if he dipped $300 in a year, do you think it's going to dip even more?
I would buy it $700.
I mean, because those things went, I think, close to about $1,500 at their peak when he was having a really good season.
I mean, Harper's going to bounce back. Is Harper going to be a Hall of Famer? I don't know. Is he going to make a couple more All-Star games and maybe at some point win a championship? Maybe.
Well, we said in prior episodes that he, I think, did I say it or did you say that he was the face? You said he was the face of baseball.
I think he is one of the faces of baseball.
But it seems like people in the hobby have kind of moved on past him in a sense. If his prices are going down, right? They're already like, they're.
I think him batting whatever he's batting right now is he's struggling. I think if the Phillies could do that, you know, deal again, they would gladly let him sign with the Giants or the Dodgers.
So is there hope for him to bounce back and bat 300 and hit 40 home runs in a season?
Yeah, there is.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. We'll move on to the next person. Ronald Acuña. So 2018 price for a 2017 Bowman Chrome auto graded 9-5-10. I tried to stick to all 9-5-10s base just to give a comparison level to everything going forward, because that's the easiest to price out. You start dealing with refractors and it's all across the board. So $555 it sold for in 2018. And fast forward to now, one sold for $866. So you have an increase of $311 in a year. Acuña, are you buying him? Are you selling him at this price? What do you think?
I'm buying him.
You think so?
I think the Braves are going to come up. I think their offense is pretty dope. So I'm buying it at that price.
I mean, now he's not hitting crazy. I mean, he's not having a bad season. He's not having a great season. He's batting 283, 45 RBIs. I'm looking for the home run numbers here.
It's like 11, I think.
Yeah, he's not killing it in home runs. He's got 15.
15. That's
15.
That's
so. I mean, 283 is good for a second year guy. I mean, that's pretty dang good.
Giants fan over here, so that's phenomenal.
Oh yeah, we'd take anybody that bats 283 on our team.
15 homers? I don't think we're going to get somebody who hits 15 homers all year.
I don't think so.
Damn, cold world.
I don't think the whole team is going to hit 15 homers.
I'm pretty sure that we're, as a team, we're probably close to 20 homers. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. The team pisses me off. They won last night though.
Well, what is it about Acuña that's, I mean, he's kind of defied what I think what we've known for international prospects is he's continuing to rise. You know, you've had guys over the years that, you know, international prospects like Cespedes and some of these guys that had a lot of hype coming out and then they've kind of fizzled away.
He's on a good young team that's on a come up.
So are you saying that prospecting the team does matter?
I think the team does matter.
All right.
I think to an extent the team does matter.
Bring back Brian Wilson, Fear the Beard. We just talked about him yesterday. He's like a ghost. All right, so the next one is Chris Bryant, which is an interesting one because it is another guy that's kind of having some struggles. So 2013 Bowman Chrome Auto, which I know there's some debate and some people prefer the 2014, but the 2013 is, in my opinion, and everybody has a different opinion. It's like religion or sports. That is my that's the auto that I would want. So,
and that's the year they didn't put first Bowman on it.
It's technically his first Bowman.
It's so it makes it even more confusing.
It's a long story. They held him out of draft, and they put him in after the 2014 using the 2013 design. Very confusing. And so in 2018, it sold for $621 for a 9.5/10. A recent PWCC auction went for $495, so you have a negative $126, which really isn't that big of a drop considering a little bit of his struggles. So do you think that because of the MVP and maybe the championship, people are kind of like not dropping as much out as they are with Harper?
Cubs' first championship in how long?
Was it because of him?
MVP season.
Yeah.
He sure and hell didn't hurt.
So how many bad years does he have before people are like?
Oh, I think Bryant will be fine.
He's batting .268. It's not horrible.
I mean, every player is. You can have a couple down years. Bryant's gonna be fine.
I mean, compared to Bryce Harper prices, Chris Bryant seems like a steal. Then
he's a good deal. Buy it up.
But the whole 14, it's almost like because there's half of the collectors that buy the 14 and half of the collectors that buy the 13, it's like half the price.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's something to consider.
I think there is that confusion. There's that confusion aspect of which one do I want?
Right. I mean, even this person in the listing, look, they put 14.
Yeah.
They put 13 and 14 in there.
Yeah. So buy those up. It's a good investment.
What it says, sealed in 14. See, it even says it on the slab. Sealed in 14 Topps products. So that's kind of interesting as well.
Hmm.
All right. So pretty much I got all that you guys named. Mookie Betts.
Oh, I forgot about Mookie.
Mookie Betts. From last year, it was $445 for a 2014 Bowman Chrome Auto BGS graded 9.5 of Mookie Betts. Recent sale, sold. He sold for... On the next slide, $560. So he went up $115 in a year, which I think isn't very fair. I think it should be a lot higher.
Buy it up.
He just won an MVP. What is it about Mookie Betts that this guy's – I mean, he should be selling more than Acuna, however you say it. He should be selling for more. What is it about Mookie Betts? Does he kick cats or something on the street?
I don't know.
Does he hate dogs? Is he – you know?
I don't know.
I don't understand. So that's a mystery to me. I mean, this guy just came off as the greatest season in his career. He had one of the highest wars in modern baseball. But his cards aren't as high as Acuna, aren't as high as as Harper, not as high as Bryant. And Bryant and Mookie Betts came out about the same year, you know. So, well, I mean, Bryant's prices are close now, but Bryant went way up on that MVP season. What do you guys think in the chat? What is it about Mookie Betts that he doesn't have a lot of autos? He doesn't sign anymore. You don't see Mookie Betts really out there anymore. He signed in Sterling. He signed in this. He signed in one of the years of Bowman's best, but he's not in anything.
Is there too many talented players on Boston?
He's got to be the number one, right?
But is there just too many guys on Boston? He gets kind of lost in the shuffle.
It could be. It's a mystery to me. I mean, people like who they like. I'm trying to figure out what is it about this guy. He's a five-tool player. He hits for power. He's a great fielder. I mean, what is it about Mookie Betts that...
I think he's a free agent soon.
Yeah.
So maybe people are speculating, is he going to get paid and it's not going to be by the Red Sox? I don't know. But that shouldn't even affect his price right now. I don't know.
And that's a good point. Jeff has a great point in the chat that sometimes you need to be hyped first year or you forever suffer.
Yeah,
So if your prices start high, they'll maintain, go up if you're good.
Because there was no, I mean, Harper was hyped big time. Probably one of the most hyped players that the hobby's ever seen.
Yeah.
Bryant was hyped. Bryant was hyped as well. Acuna, first year.
Yeah.
Super hyped.
So. Yeah, maybe there's something to be said. Well, I've got another argument for that coming up.
I mean, in 2014, you could probably buy these Mookie Betts first Bowmans for, what, 25, maybe 35 bucks?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, you always get the Boston uptick. You know, if he was on the A's, it'd be a $20 card.
Okay, maybe a $50 card.
$50 card. And we got breaks coming up after the show, guys. We got football, legacies. We've got more noir today, so check out the schedule. Just a rare Thursday edition of the hype leading into breaks. But we'll keep on this segment, analyzing these big-name baseball players and their prices. So Aaron Judge. So this is an interesting one, and we can kind of intertwine it with the Mookie Betts scenario. Aaron Judge, 2013 Bowman Chrome rookie card. Once again, it's his first Bowman, but for whatever year, they didn't put first Bowman on that card. 2018 price was $685. So you go to the next slide, which is current, $757. Now, he's been hurt, and he still went up. And his prices start. So if we want to use that argument that his he needs to be hot out of the gate.
His prices were cheap.
His prices were cheap, right? So was it because he just went on a monumental tear and his prices are still maintaining? Because
he hits home runs farther than anybody else.
Is that what it is?
His home runs don't barely go over the fence.
they go pretty far. So you got an increase of $72 on a season where I think is he back now?
He has been banged up. My one concern with Aaron Judge,
a lot of injuries,
is that he is injury prone. I don't think he has played a full season yet.
Yeah.
Without having a couple stints on the DL or the IL, whatever the hell we're calling it now, but.
These are just questions for anybody listening and us here on the show. Are Yankees guys more revered than Boston guys? Is the Yankees the pinnacle of collecting and Boston second, or is it tied?
What about the Braves?
The Braves haven't been good they're good now, but after, you know, Chipper Jones, they haven't really had any huge prospects and in the last, you know, since Chipper Jones, which was in the Bowman era.
It's tough, man. I don't.
I think Braves are top 10, but I don't think they're top 5.
I think the Yankees are number 1. If that's what you're trying to get out of me here, Yankees prospects are always gonna sell based on being in the Yankee system.
And then you would say the Red Sox organization is number 2 for a prospect to go to.
I think the Red Sox are, it really depends on the prospect though. The prospect can go anywhere. It could be. It doesn't matter if it's a once in a generation talent, it doesn't matter what team.
Well, what about...
We're seeing it with Wander Franco.
We are, but what about Brandon Lowe? We're just talking about that in the chat. The guy's... he's not hitting as many home runs as Pete Alonso, but...
Wander Franco is, if I'm not mistaken, he is in single A right now.
Yep.
And his cards are selling for more than a lot of these players that we're looking at.
Right, they are. And ESPN just did an article on him. They're teaching him English, and they're doing... They wrote an article about Wander Franco, how he's the next man.
So, and would you consider the Rays in the top 20?
No, I mean, that's why it defies. I mean, and that's why it's great to have these conversations, because we try to pinpoint why the stuff happens.
So
we try to make reasons why it is.
See, I don't know. I have not seen Wander Franco play. So does Wander Franco have insane amount of power? I looked at his stats. It didn't really look like it.
He has a baseball lineage. I guess his mom is part of the Willie and Eric Ibar family, his mom. And his dad plays baseball.
And that's why his cards go up?
I don't know. I'm just saying he does come from baseball players. They're saying his size, his athletic ability.
Is that something we need to look at now? Is the if you have baseball
pedigree
lineage, then the Vladimir Guerreros, does his dad being a Hall of Famer, does that make his cards worth more? The kid who Bobby Witt Jr. is that gonna be a kid that we're gonna watch because his dad played? Fernando Tatis.
Oh, we got a lot.
We have tons of them.
The Blue Jays have like 10 guys.
We could do it. We could do it all.
Well,
all day.
You know, I think for the hobby, which is these reboots of these guys, these kids, is the dads were playing when we were kids, so it's almost like I'm gonna collect this guy because I loved Vlad Senior, so he's got to be, you know, or Biggio, you know, Biggio, the name.
Yeah, those are two Hall of Famers, but you think people are going to be like, I'm going to collect Fernando Tatis Jr. because his dad was such a great player.
Well, I'm sure he still
like,
has fans.
If Fernando Tatis Jr. ends up having the same career as his dad, those cards people are spending a crap ton of money on right now is not going to look like a good investment.
Right. All right, moving on to the next player on this one. We've got... Christian Yelich, which is an interesting scenario here because there's a couple things that are defying the odds on Christian Yelich. Obviously, he's having a killer season, and he had an MVP season last year. So he is probably top 5, if not number 1, baseball player currently based on the stats over the last 2 years. So he's got a 2010 Bowman Chrome card, and it sold for $222 in 2018.
Recent sales, $731. So that is an increase of $500.
He's the best player in the league right now.
He's the best player in the league right now. But his card, we talk about this all the time, that we don't want to buy guys that are on different teams than they're on now. Marlin prospect. So he's on the Brewers now. So that defies that logic. And
It doesn't matter if he's the best player in the league.
So do people jump?
I think we always put too much stock in a player changing teams. It does not matter if that player is one of the best players, if not the best player in the league.
But does he hit long home runs? He hits home runs.
He wins MVPs.
He won an MVP, but so did Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant won a World Series championship.
And that was a while ago.
So this
is fresh in everybody's mind. And it's not like Yelich put everything together last year. He came out of the gate this year. He's the front runner to win the MVP again. He's the best player in the league.
Yeah. I'm not debating that. But
hard to debate that.
Well, where is Milwaukee on the pecking order of top teams to be on for prospects?
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. So if you're the best player in the league, it does not matter where you play.
So if Yelich was on the A's, he would still sell.
He would still sell.
But
it would not matter.
The Brewers are doing well, right? So what if he was doing this on a team that's 10 games under 500?
I think the team has to be successful. And I think that has a lot to do with Acuña, why his cards do so well. Because I think people are speculating that they could go to the playoffs and they could have a deep run into the playoffs. And they look at the Brewers and, like, the Brewers can go to the playoffs and they can have a deep run in the playoffs. You look at a team that's under 500 right now. If the Giants called up Joey Bart and he started doing well, but the Giants were going to lose close to 100 games, I don't think you would see a significant peak in his cards. Now, when Posey got called up, the Giants were a good team. And in 2010, you did see a spike in Buster Posey's cards. They've gone down now. But that year, people were paying a lot of money for him.
Yeah. Yep, and these are all great topics for debate. Yeah, I mean, and that's another anomaly. You talk about Posey. I mean, what else could you want from a guy that's won 3 World Series championships, has won an MVP, won a batting title, won a Rookie of the Year.
And he'll be a Hall of Famer.
And a guy that's basically coming to take his job, Joey Bart possibly, is the next guy up.
Sells for more than he does.
Almost 2 or 3 times the amount.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Is Joey Bart going to win 3 World Series championships?
Hope so.
What are the odds? I hope so too.
But hey, is he going to do it on the Giants?
Probably not. He's going to go to the Yankees now. All right, we got a few more guys. Breaks are going to be starting here shortly. We still have some spots. Shohei Ohtani. Now, these numbers could be skewed because of the fact that Bowman was only a couple months released at this point.
Yeah.
But $1,488 for a BGS 95 Shohei Ohtani.
That shows you right there what the international market can do to a guy. And it also shows you a once-in-a-generation guy who pitches and hits with power.
Right. Now you look at this year, a recent sale, $950, which is still kind of a lot for a nut.
That was more than
Betts. That was more than Yelich. So $950, but you have a $538 loss basically from last year to this year, based on what the values are going. Now, he's been hitting home runs consistently. He's not pitching, obviously, because of the Tommy John lingering. But he seems to be doing okay as a hitter. Do you think this price declines? I mean, it seems like the bar was set too high last year.
I think Ohtani is a good investment.
Okay.
I think we're going to see some pretty remarkable things from Ohtani by the time everything's said and done.
All right. And we'll move into the last guy on the list, which is having another phenomenal season, Cody Bellinger for the Dodgers. Last year, I for some reason on Terapeak, and I'm getting this data from Terapeak, so it's like $17 a month. If you do buy stuff on eBay and you're trying to sell stuff consistently and you need to find some data, I definitely recommend signing up for the Terapeak. It gives you a year's worth of data, so you can kind of see the peaks and valleys of cards. It's definitely a good investment if you're invested in this hobby like we are. But last year, a Cody Bellinger first Bowman sold for $265.51. And this year, and he's on a tear, $785. So $492 increase on Cody Bellinger, which is second to Christian Yelich on this whole list of superstars that we're analyzing today. The biggest loss, obviously, was Ohtani. He had a lot of high, a lot of low. Second biggest loss is Bryce Harper. But the biggest gains are Yelich and Bellinger. So
yeah, and what do Yelich and Bellinger have in common?
They're leading in the league in stats.
Yeah, and what's the other thing?
They're on two major market teams.
What and what are those teams?
Or no, Yelich is not on a major.
No,
market
yeah,
game.
But what are
those teams are winning?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you look at that and you're like, if I buy Bellinger now, there's a good chance the Dodgers can have a long run in the playoffs.
Yep.
And he may be a guy who, you know, wins a, you know, in NLC or NLCS like MVP or something like that, or World Series MVP. He is also
killing it.
Probably the best hitter, or at least one of the best power hitters in the NL right now.
Yep. Yeah, I mean he's on fire. I mean his swing is captivating. I mean
I hate to say it,
I know,
because he's absolutely on the wrong team.
Yep. So,
look good in a Giants uniform.
He would.
I'll tell you that.
Yep. Cody. All right.
Even
so.
Better than an Oakland uniform. Hey.
That's for show. That's for show. All right. So this was some positive news that came out of our hobby, and I'm sure this numbers – I got this yesterday, so I'm sure this numbers went up. A collector, a young 9-year-old collector by the name of Ryan Kay out of Napa, so not too far from us over here. It's a very, very heartwarming story. Is he normally spends his allowance on collectibles or on baseballs to get signed in person at Giants games. Ryan's father recently passed away from ALS, so doing acts of kindness has been a form of grieving for him. So after hearing that fellow third graders at his school often have to go into debt to pay for their school lunch, he decided that he could do something about it using his collectibles allowance. So as NBC7 News reported it, Ryan had his mother reach out to the school and find out how much the debt was for kids in his class, and then gave the entire amount, $74.50, anonymously to help out his classmates end the year out of debt. So he basically, to his 9-year-old kid, $74. I can't remember ever having $74 as a 9-year-old. I mean, that's like having $1 million almost as a 9-year-old.
Yep.
So this kid basically gave and paid the entire bill for his classmates. I mean, it's super heartwarming. So shout out to Ivan from GoGTS, and you can find him at Watch the Breaks. Started a GoFundMe for this kid. The goal was $250. As of yesterday, it was already past $1,000. So this kid's going to get some awesome stuff. You know, he's a Giants collector. He also likes Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, Roman Reigns, and Draymond Green. I'll put the link in the show notes on the podcast version if you guys want to help out this kid. I mean, when I heard this story, I was like, I threw in $100 because I was like, this is something good. We have all this trimming stuff going on. We have all this stuff that's, you know, negative in this hobby. And stories like this need to be brought to the forefront because it's just, you know, it's pretty heartwarming to see a kid, you know, take his money and not even, you know, I don't know how many kids would do this. I don't think I would do that. I don't think I would. So this kid's got a big heart. He's dealing with a lot of issues in his life, and he thought about others, which I think is just a great story. So we'll link his GoFundMe up on our show notes, and you can access it by going to @WatchTheBreaks on Twitter, and he already has it there now. If you want to jump on there now and throw the kid $5, $10, or whatever to get him something nice, you know. So very cool. So anything you guys want to add about that, or did I say it all?
That's awesome.
Great. It's awesome. I can't really add anything. You
shout out to Ryan.
Yeah.
What up, Ryan?
Ryan K. You know,
go Dubs.
Warrior fan. Yep. Go Dubs. Let's get that win. But yeah, there's the link for the GoFundMe actually in our chat. C-Rad got that. That's awesome. So he collects some. I can see a Brandon Crawford auto there, but he's got like a Pomeranz. So he collects. He gets balls signed at games is what his what he does for his collection. So, and he was spending his money on that. All the money he had left, he tried to, you know, he paid off his fellow student's debt, which was pretty amazing. So, awesome. So we'll move on to what's the next segment? Get caught up in that segment. I think we got one last segment. I think we're going to talk and review leather and lumber.
No, I think we're done.
Leather and lumber baseball. You know, we try
to.
Good
show. All right. So breaks are filling up. Check them out. I think we got legacies next, and we'll be back next week.
Leather and lumber 2019 from Panini. No. Oh. We're going to give a quick review. You know, Panini does some good stuff. We're going to try to pick out the positives in this set, but, you know, we like to shoot it straight, so we're going to shoot it straight on this one. So we'll look at some of the cards here and share some thoughts.
They do have Vladimir Guerrero in there, autos. They've got Yusei Kikuchi in there. But I wanted to look at some of the subsets real quick before we get into the break. So we'll kind of breeze through this and share some thoughts. So you can go ahead and just kind of click through these slides here. All right. So first off, the base cards are die cuts of baseball bats, which, you know, kind of made me almost throw up my mouth when I first saw it. The bat relic jersey design is terrible. Is there anything you can kind of pick out on that to go against me?
They're just not all winners. So when you in the sports card game, when you're, you know, doing production design and manufacturing, they're not always going to be home runs. No pun intended.
Right.
All right.
You got a subset. Dan's like, let's get out of this segment. Sweet feet. Cleat relics. Sweet feet. That was a long board meeting.
Oh, dude. I
Lumberjacks.
I always thought it was a car freshener.
Lumberjack subset. I'm doing my best to describe this guy to these guys that are listening to the podcast, but you might want to watch a video version. Lumberjack subset is literally a card that's cut in the shape of a tree. It looks like the Royal Pine car freshener. You know, that's the famous, probably the most famous car freshener of all time. It looks exactly like that. I'm thinking about taking some of those cards and dipping them in some kind of scent and just hanging it from my car. Maybe it'll be a little more. Maybe they're onto something here, Dan. Do you think we can make car freshener baseball cards?
No.
No? You don't think they'll take off?
No.
No? Put a little string through it, hang it from your dashboard?
No.
No? I mean, who wouldn't want a Reese Hoskins lumberjack, you know, tree card hanging from their rear view?
Me. I would not want one.
Okay.
What about you, TJ? Would you want one? No.
How many people do you think have to approve of these card designs before it goes to print? Do you think it was a real quick meeting? Like, we got a day to figure this out? Maybe we got 10 minutes to figure this out?
No, I actually, unfortunately, oh, God.
If you put Gary Vee's name on it, he says.
I think they overthought this product. That was the whole problem. I think there was too many minds involved in this.
You're saying this took months to do.
I'm saying that this is what happens when you try to do something different, and it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We're just gonna chalk this up as there's probably people who see the value in this product, and there's probably people who like the idea that it's different.
But I think to quote you from Break Day, first day of release, first case, I think you said it was a bring your kids to work day over.
No, it was. It was. It was. This is what happens when you bring your kids to work and you let them design a product.
I mean, yeah. And when you stack them up, it's like stacking up ninja stars. As if you're stacking up the base, C-Rad, me and Dan know that if you have a bunch of base cards of those, that's kind of.
And you know what? We have thousands of dollars of this product still. So it shows you that I don't care. I mean, but again, you guys may like it. Again, there's eight hits in a box. It's definitely quantity over quality.
I mean, there is Chase. There's Vladimir Guerrero in there. And
but I got to say, there is nothing about this product that I see that stands out that I like.
Do you give them – can we give them credit for
except
trying?
Except for the glove relic.
That's cool.
Those are cool. The window of the relic needed to be bigger. It's tiny. It reminds me kind of what was it? 2014 Topps Prime football, where it had the tiny little prime window of the relic. Reminds me kind of that. It does look like they went through and they took a bunch of other designs and kind of threw them together. You see some Pantheon in there. What did this product need to exist?
Probably not.
No, not probably not. It's.
But
wait,
have you
basically been you've been opening up a lot of baseball product from Panini? Did you? You're like, man, what they do need is a thicker cardstock that is just totally funky and just has a crap ton of die cuts.
Maybe if I was on acid, I would say yes. We
said nobody ever.
Exactly. But yeah. So, but there is, like I said, you know. Some people like it. I've seen a lot of positive tweets about it. There are people that these cards.
There's value to be had based on the fact there is eight hits a box.
You know what's funny is that I think we've had – it was back in the Mojo Break podcast days that we said we love die cuts.
Oh, yeah.
Now we've come full circle when I'm like, get off my lawn on these die cuts.
I'm confident that nobody listened to the archives and were like, you know what? We should make a –
No, but there was very few die cuts back then. Now we've just come like – just wild. All right. Well, we got a sold out break, so we got to get through. I just want to talk about how awesome Noir is, and I've got some pictures from the shoe cards. The sneaker spotlights, if you're not familiar with them, they're in Noir. We're doing breaks of Noir pretty much all weekend. It's a phenomenal basketball product, in my opinion. It's the best basketball Noir that they've came out with. Do you agree, C-Ren? Cleanest design, everything
absolutely
that they have in it.
Love the design.
Yeah, I think they've greatly improved it. The sneaker spotlights are awesome. They highlight shoes, and shoes is huge in basketball. It's bigger in basketball than any other sport.
And it's a big deal this year because they finally allow the players to wear whatever shoes they want.
Right.
It doesn't have to stay to a specific team color.
Exactly. I mean, you could see Marvin Bagley's Pumas here. I think those are ugly, but that's very cool. How about these Shaq shoes?
Ooh,
is that Payless?
Yes.
Those are Payless, huh?
Yep, that is.
Dan, check out the Shaq.
I
think those are Payless. I think that's when he left Reebok and he had Payless shoes.
Payless didn't have their own. What the heck? There's a weird sound going on in my headphones. It sounds like
I think it's in your head. It's this leather and lumber just rattling around in your head. No,
it sounds like a very. What are we? It sounds like somebody playing congas.
I have nothing playing on the computer.
Okay. I'm losing my mind. That were those Spalding or were they're,
no?
They're not Payless. Didn't have their own shoe, did they?
Yeah. No, it was Shaq brand though. Like it was Shaq. There was no Nike or LA Gear attached to it. It was I remember
that looks later
Shaq.
Year Shaq
you
too. Because
you didn't know
chunky.
You didn't know there was a
yeah later year
you didn't
Shaq.
Know there was a Shaq shoe factory.
It could be. I'm sure it was a situation where they already make shoes in that factory and they got a deal.
Dude, you mean OEM? No, yeah. No, they had a specific Chinese factory just for Shaq shoes.
Nice.
That's how big they were.
That's how big it was. That's how big Shaq was, literally. No pun intended. But yes, that is a chubby Shaq. Look at these shoes, John Collins.
Those are the Dame Dallas.
Oh, those are the Damians?
Mm-hmm.
But they look like
they're Bapes. They're the Bape versions.
So those are expensive.
Super hard to get, yeah.
And I'm not.
They're probably like $1,000 shoes.
Wow.
And for people texting me right now, I know they're watching. When I'm on my phone in this little live thing we're doing right now, I'm actually communicating with people. I'm actually watching the chat, so I'm not just on my phone.
Oh, okay. just be clear. Whoever is out there. Yeah.
The phone's blowing up right now.
Yeah.
Actually, it's blowing up multiple people. I have somebody complaining that I didn't text them back.
Oh. That's always a good one.
Industry, though. Industry.
Oh, okay. You know, I just learned the other day that on Facebook Messenger, if you read the message, they know. And
that's why I don't use that. That's my nightmare.
You know how many people I've just not replied to?
Yeah, and they know. And they know. You're just a jerk.
It's just like I just kicked them.
I
digitally kick them.
You know what, Doug? Doug just doesn't care about, you know, communicating with people.
Pretty much.
That's basically it. That's one of the things that drive me crazy.
Well,
why when you see that little blue bubble, that little bubble come up, don't just take it and just swipe it off your screen. Pretend like it never happened.
See, my problem is I have time to read it real quick, but I don't have time to respond a lot of the times. I got two kids, you know, this stuff takes a lot of time, you know, and anybody that's like, yeah, that was me. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. I'll apologize to everybody. But sometimes I don't have no time on the Facebook Messenger to, that's why I give most people my text. You know, reach me through text.
And how does
know?
That work out?
I still don't respond, but then they don't know. That way they don't know if I didn't I didn't see it. So, anyways. Mo Bamba is wearing the Curries. Mo Bamba wearing the
I actually like this year's Curries. They look nice.
They do. Yep. But what Jameson said in the chat is the gold ink spotlights are still the chase to me, and I agree there 100%. What do we got going here? Let's tell people about this. NBA 72 box.
Yes, sir. Saturday night.
For finals, right before finals game 7.
Is it Saturday?
No, it's Sunday is the game. Oh. But this is just warm you up right before the day of game 7 and Father's Day. So
bold statement.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen. I mean, coming to Oracle.
Let's go, right, baby.
What does Curry score tonight?
He goes for 49.
Jesus Christ, come on, dude.
What is in this break, dude? You got 4-box case of National Treasures, 4-box case of Noir.
We got 18-19 Flawless Collegiate, Immaculate Opulence Impeccable Noir from 1718. We got 1617 Flawless. That's the new one that we added that we didn't have in the last 72 box.
Nice.
So that's a big briefcase out of that. And you just go down the list.
Supreme Hardcore.
That's like everything. Look at this.
Tell us what happened last time. Last time you
boxes ever.
Yeah, what happened
last time you opened up Supreme Hardcore? What happened?
I think we pulled some cat named Michael Mikel Jordan.
Is that the picture there?
The actor?
Michael B?
Michael B. Jordan?
We actually pulled, I think this is a stock photo, but we actually pulled this card.
You know, there was
this hardwood card.
The reason I brought that up is there was actually somebody that was complaining about the patch on the card on Facebook.
Oh, God. Why?
Maybe because they expected it to be like a Bulls patch, but they don't understand that a laundry tag of a game-used Michael Jordan jersey is far more superior.
They had envy. It wasn't their card.
Probably.
That's what the truth is.
Yeah. Yep. You gotta find. Always gotta find a reason.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got breaks that are ready to go, so we won't take any more of you guys' time up. But we'll get into the break, show you guys some cards, pull some hits. You know me. I like big hits.
Oh, you got it.
I took it from you. I set you up.
No, I didn't even give me a chance to do it. You know me. I love big hits.
Spoken from the mouth of Mike Singletary. We'll have to play that again. I got to get that on audio here. But yeah, 72 box finals mixer is happening Saturday, guys, and spots are already selling. Just insanity comes out of these things. So it's an insane basketball break, and C-Rez has just been pulling fire. I mean, he just pulled the LeBron James logo, man. I mean, who else would you want to open your boxes? I mean, seriously,
like the chair is squeaking or the table squeaking, something is squeaking.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
But yeah, so, yeah, 72 box break, huh?
Yep.
72, NBA.
NBA.
When's that baseball big break going to happen? We need to get one of those together.
Well,
huh?
I still got Mojo Collection I'm working on, too. So
That'll be out in a while.
Yeah.
It'll take a while.
There's some amazing. I'm telling you, this is going to be the best buyback ever. There's so much diversity and so many big cards that I bought like a couple months ago
and
that
there's
have gone
so many,
up.
And there's so many regular size cards.
There is, yeah. There's a lot of regular card regulars.
Just regular size cards.
There's presidential cut autos in there. There's just, it's insane. We'll let you know when that comes
presidential
out.
Presidential cut autos.
Yep. Yep.
Which, you got George Washington?
Yep. No, no.
Did Abe Lincoln?
I can't let out that
did
information.
Did you get Obama?
No.
Did you get JFK?
No, there's one in there that we have.
Didn't really sound like you got any of the good ones.
There's Gerald Ford. Ford.
Oh, you got, there. He's the discount.
Yeah, I'm working on trying to get a tricky dick, you know, see if I can get a tricky dick in there.
Should get Abe Lincoln.
I know, right? Yeah, only $30,000 to cut auto.
But it may increase the price per spot.
Did you say Blinken? All right, guys. Well, that's it for the show today. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with episode number 96, getting close to that 100 mark. Peace out, guys.
Chill.
For some reason, it cuts out that audio when we do that, but it's all right.
You can play the outro again.
And that's it.
Thanks for watching. Double outro. Visit mojobreak.com
for more info and your break spot. You got the LeBron James, you know. We'll
see you next time on
The Hype. Let's go. All right, now I can pull. Yeah.